Good morning and welcome to Filtered. Happy Monday. If you're listening to this one, it's just gone live. It's 7 a.m. on a Monday morning. Hope you're enjoying a nice cup of coffee or tea or whatever your morning routine is. And if you're not listening to it live, that's cool too. We are Filtered.
Don't judge.
We won't judge. A daily download on everything from leadership, wellness, mindset, and business performance. On Friday, we spoke about perfectionism. The episode did really well. And we wanted to continue a bit because one of the topics that kind of sprouts from perfectionism is definitely procrastination. You know, procrastination can range from anything from doing the dishes to a career switch that you've been putting off if you're not happy in your role. Like the big life decisions right down to the minutiae of taking the bins out. It's the human condition. For some reason, we seem to procrastinate on things that are good for us and not on things that aren't so good for us. Jamie, do you find yourself, you'll probably say that you haven't battled procrastination.
Everyone does at some stage. Like, yeah. And it's not like you all of a sudden like are, I don't procrastinate, and you've kind of like gotten over it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's a constant battle people have. It's probably getting harder because if you think about it, we are now in a world of just constant distraction, like constant distraction. And I'm not going to include you in this bucket, but like for like, not that I haven't grown up with technology, right? Mm. I still remember the dial tone, right?
You know, so do I, yeah.
Right. I was giving you the option, right? I'll give you an example. Like, so my daughter has, you know, we all know this toy from when we were young. It's the old traditional telephone with the four wheels on it, and you pick up the handset and you drag it around, right? Mm. She has no idea whatsoever that that's a phone. We walk down and we stick on Peppa, right? She walks a bit of Peppa in the morning. Mm. And like, we'll have to get the remote, turn it on, da 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 da. When she's older, she'll come down and she'll just go, hey, whatever, and turn on the TV and watch Peppa, and it'll just come on. Do you know what I mean? And we're watching on Netflix as well, which is new to all of us, but it'll be completely like the concept of watching ads, I think, will just be completely removed for her. Do you know what I mean? But my roundabout point in all this is that a big part of procrastination is getting sucked down that hole, because you got to remember, they have oodles of behavioral scientists, oodle of data behind trying to make sure you do not leave their platform.
Yeah. I think like the sad part is that, and you hit the nail on the head straight away, it's an everlasting battle. This isn't something that you can hack and get rid of. And I know I talk about the book all the time, but I'm hoping one person will read it after listening to the podcast, Stephen Pressfield's The War of Art. He talks about the resistance.
You love that book.
I just love it. It's my psychology of money. he talks about this resistance we feel for everything that's good for us. And the sad kind of culmination at the end of the book is you can understand the resistance, but you will face this battle every single day. So with procrastination, it's the exact same thing. Another trick a lot of people love is the 5-minute rule. And I think it works really well. I employ it sometimes. And that is, if there's a task that's feeling daunting or overwhelming, and it's going to be a long road, a long task, slice it up and just say, I'm going to do 5 minutes. I'm going to set the timer and I'm going to do 5 minutes of this task that I've been dreading. And if I'm really not getting anywhere at the end of the 5 minutes, I'll stand up and walk away. But you usually find that the hardest part is walking over to your desk, sitting down, getting the paperwork together and starting. And we have, you know, you set it up so conditionally that particularly when it's creative, you say, it's going to be easy. The day I'm meant to write this book, I'm going to feel really inspired, and I'm just going to know what the book's supposed to be about. And you visualize this magic day where all of a sudden everything comes together. And it's a really great tactic that we employ to kick things down the road. Like, I'll lose weight when my job situation is sorted, or I'll do the healthy diet thing when I have the time, or we wait for this perfect set of conditions to start something. When there is no better time than now. I mean, tomorrow is an absolute enemy, saying you're going to start something tomorrow. Another tactic that people use is the 5-second countdown to doing the thing they don't want to do. So you don't even give your brain a chance to start coming up with all the brilliant excuses not to go for the run, or the brilliant excuses not to get out of bed, because your brain is so cunning when it comes up to these excuses. You'll be lying in bed and it can come up with some really, really compelling reasons not to get up. I deserve a rest. It's a pandemic. I didn't feel very well yesterday, so I need another 10 minutes sleep. I know you don't battle that particular that daily fight, but it's amazing what your brain can come up with to stop you doing what's good for you.
Well, if you think about it, like, okay, if you go way back when we're hunter gatherers, we're programmed almost to be easily distracted because you are looking out for danger. Mm. And so you're kind of half programmed to be aware for it. That's why set yourself up. And they've shown studies like, you know, if you get distracted by a notification, it takes you almost 20 minutes to get back into the kind of zone or flow of that task.
If you know the things that hold you back when you start to do a task, you can create systems that future-proof you from that. If the big task daunts you in the morning, and a lot of people say do your biggest task first, if that is stopping you from doing effective work, know yourself, know your own patterns. If you need to do 3 quick admin tasks to get your ball rolling, then do that and then move on to the bigger task.
Well, like, I mean, a really simple thing I sometimes do with people when I'm coaching them at the very end of the session, it's like, okay, what's the one small thing we can accomplish here in the next 24 hours that are moving us closer to the goal? It could be really, really, like, it could be make a phone call. It could be send an email. Send someone a text. It could be really, really, really small. And it could be put your runners at the end of your bed to go for a run in the morning or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's always one small thing that you can do to build that momentum. And that's, we've talked about it numerous times. It's like, okay, a big task seems daunting, but once you start breaking it down, you look at the options and the possibilities, then you start to see patterns or a way through the woods, you know, to a certain degree. But you do have to break it down. Don't think you can eat the whole elephant straight up.
Mm-hmm. And we all know that doing that small task, making that phone call, feels so much better than sitting on the couch watching Netflix, thinking about the phone call.
Were you one of those kids when you were in school that waited to do their homework until like last thing at night or first thing in the morning?
I one time was writing an essay for college so last minute that I didn't have time to stop typing to think. And because I didn't do horrifically badly in the essay, now I will always go back to that moment and say, you know, I'm the type of person that needs to do it last minute.
See, I was the guy who like came home every morning, like I'd come home from school at whatever time, because I was playing a lot of sports, right? You'd be home by, because from secondary school, I was home by 6 o'clock. And then a quick dinner, and then I was straight into like 6:30 was do your homework.
Was that like the structure in your household, or was that you?
It's just something like my parents just always kind of did it with me. Even when I was in primary school, it was like, come home, do your homework, then you can go play. And that was, there was like it'd be, especially on a Friday, for example, they're like, it's just easier to do it on a Friday, and then you have the whole weekend. And I was kind of like, after a while, I was like, that's fair enough. Yeah, actually. Yeah, grand.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it has to be one of the best skills you can pass on to a child, is that discipline of you don't always get to do what you feel like.
And there lies the crux of many people's problem. They feel like they deserve it without having to work for it.
And it's difficult to transition. And I know we're gone over time here. It's difficult to transition from being in a structure where you go from having parents who plan out your day, your diet, everything. Then you go into school and they plan out how you study. Then you go into college, you've got more structure, more authority. And then you're out on your own and you are responsible for disciplining yourself. And you need to have almost that parent voice in your head of, you know, like, know who you're listening to. Are you listening to your inner child who wants to, you know, chill out and watch Netflix? Or are we listening to the inner disciplinarian? You have to be your own disciplinarian, which is difficult for people.
Yeah, well, look, I don't know if it was luck or forced upon me. like I did my leaving cert. I was 17 when I did my leaving cert, and 2 weeks later, my mom was out of the country, gone to my dad in Belgium. So I was like at 17, left to fend for myself. My mom would literally come home once a quarter, fill up the freezer, check it, make sure I'm alive, and then leave. Which was great at the time, because I was like at 17, I was like that summer after your leaving cert, I was like, I was in Nace with a house to myself. I was the most popular man in the world. It was brilliant crack, right? But come August, September, I started realizing, going, hey, actually, I have to clean the gaff. I have to cook for myself. You know what I mean? I can't just be getting takeaway the whole time. You know what I mean? And it was like, it was forced upon me. Kind of like when people nowadays, you know, when they leave college and they start living maybe with someone for the first time and all that sort of stuff and fend for themselves. Then it kind of sets in. Maybe I'm lucky that I just kind of got it a couple of years earlier than most people, because it definitely gave me, I remember that August, September vividly, because it gave me some dose of reality. I was like, washing? What? Like,
yeah.
I didn't learn to iron for a few more years though. I put that purposely off for a long time.
Okay. That's us for today. We will see you tomorrow morning, Tuesday at 7 a.m. Same time, same place. Thanks, Jamie.
Take care.